Hello, everybody. It's time to start a meeting. This is the September 2011 membership meeting of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. We usually do introductions, and there is a.
I have it, Mike. I have it with me.
Somebody has the microphone, so. We'll start with our introductions, and if you care to tell us, you might want to tell us the most interesting thing you did this summer. So it's all over, you know, the picnics are all over, so we can go back to school and stuff like that. So I'm Mike Heathley. I'm the SVCB president, and in the picnic, I really enjoyed Bev Clifford's squares. I forgot zucchini squares. So.
Thank you.
Loopy, he is here. David Paul. But I have to give the microphone. So, you want me to give it to him?
This is Susan Hyatt, and I'm the vice president. And the interesting thing I did this summer is I went to a Bible conference. I just got back yesterday. It was from Monday through Friday. And I had a wonderful, wonderful time meeting old friends. And two other people for this chapter also went. We all had a great time.
Announce yourself who you are.
My name is John Nemec. I'm the technical marketing manager for various designs. And on my right is our... What's your title?
How about sales manager?
Yes, you did.
Did you introduce yourself already?
No, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Terry Palmer. I'm also with Berryessa Designs, and I work with vision centers and doctors out in the field, as well as help Berryessa Designs sign up resellers to distribute our product. And we're your speakers today, by the way.
Good morning. Hi, I'm just Ruben Armenta, Santa Clara. The most good thing I did this summer was going to Enchanted Hills with the group to up in Napa for the blind. It was very good, very, very good. Thank you.
Alan Jones from Santa Clara.
Hi, my name is Christina Wood.
Hi, this is Bev Clifford, Goody's chairperson from San Jose. I would like to thank Suzanne Smith for the wonderful goodies today. Thank you so much. I want to thank Mike for liking my zucchini squares. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. And, let's see. I'll just tell you one of the things I did this summer. I participated in the Stanford Summer Chorus, and we gave a wonderful concert of spirituals and other things that the audience loved, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
I'd like to mention before we go on that Christina Woods is one of our newest members. So let's all welcome Christina Woods.
Suzanne Smith, the goodies person for today. Michelle McGrew, fundraising chair.
Sitting.
Oh, from Mountain View.
David Hoffman, recording secretary, Cupertino. What's that?
Hi there. You got Charlie Stein on the line. And I think it was fine when I saw the cans that was donated to me, to yourselves, actually, because it's for the crusher.
Bring your nature.
Okay.
You don't want to get in his way.
Bernice Kandarian from Mountain View, and I'm president of the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
Pamela Rao, a resident here at Monta Vista Terrace, and what I did this summer was stay well enough to stay out of the hospital. Hip, hip, hooray.
Barbara Dickinson from Mountain View.
Okay.
Carol Ann Owens from Mountain View, and this summer I went to the fair. I went on the big roller coaster that went over the longest dips, and I enjoyed being at the picnic last month.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everybody. This is John Kanzi here, and I just wanted to let you know that the most interesting part was the picnic, and I thought the picnic was a wonderful, wonderful picnic.
You sure?
Okay.
This is Lupi Medrano, Media Past President, and the best thing I did this summer was that I got my 11-year-old granddaughter to laugh the night before she had her tonsils removed because she was really, really scared. So what I did is I poured a whole bunch of hair conditioner in her hair. It got really, really silky. And I said, well, you'll never have to wear hair conditioner again. So she laughed and she says, Mom, Grandma, you're silly. And I go, oh, yeah. So I got her to laugh before she went in for surgery the following day.
Art Takahara, Mountain View.
Movie. John McNulty, Sunnyvale, and the most interesting thing I did this summer was also going to the picnic, and I especially enjoyed the tour with the old schoolhouse and the print shop and the trolley barn.
Sam Chen, Saratoga. I continue to love eating, but never forget to exercise as well.
This is Roger Peterson from Mountain View, editor emeritus of the newsletter and program chair, still program chair. I don't ever do anything interesting. I don't know. I suppose the most interesting thing I did this summer was to go to the ACB convention in Reno Sparks and experience the John Esquaga's Nugget and get a lungs full of cigarette smoke as I went past the casino every time.
Oh, it's mine. This is Rose Dieterding, and I guess the most interesting thing, I went to Enchanted Hills, and then I went to, we went to almost all of the concerts that Yale Band plays, and the concerts were cool. And last time I went, they played Teddy Bear's Picnic for me. Bye.
Naomi Grubb, corresponding secretary and sometimes coffee maker if I get here on time. This summer I did participate in a fundraiser, and it was held at the same spot where we had our picnic that night. And it was for Second Harvest, and they raised $2,500. And part of the money went to the San Jose Historic, where we were, in Cali Park. So it was a pretty good event. We square danced there until 11 o'clock at night outside, and it was beautiful.
Leanne Nakagawa, San Jose.
Steve Nakagawa, San Jose, board member.
Cam Acker, Mountain View, California. And I don't know the best thing I did last summer because there wasn't a summer. But I joined the Vista Center as a volunteer, and I'm really enjoying the work I'm doing there.
She's also a brand new SVCB member, so give her a hand.
This is Donna Sanchez, and I do the lunches. And this summer, one weekend when I went home, it just happened that all my brothers happened to be in California from all over wherever they are, and we had a wonderful weekend. It was kind of like a surprise because I didn't know it until I got home, and my dad says, oh, Chris is coming and Nick's coming, and of course John lives in town, and I hadn't seen one of my brothers for a year, so it was really nice. And we had a wonderful barbecue.
This is Don Wilcox, Palo Alto. I'm the hospitality chair, and what I did that was really exciting this summer was finish the bird, which I've been handing out, and it's amazing that this bird has survived because my computer crashed in the middle of it. He's the bird, and all his feathers has been transferred to a memory stick, to a backup laptop, which also crashed, rescued again, and it hatched.
Good morning. This is Vic Clifford, the database chairperson. One of the most interesting things I did this summer was go to Gilroy Gardens, where we had arranged a docent tour to celebrate John and Susan's wedding. And we got to see all the trees and go up and touch them and climb all over everything before the park opened and early when they were opened. And it was a lot of fun.
Okay, Mike, I believe I've got everyone.
Oh, I'm okay. Sorry.
Sorry, missed you one.
This is Amy Schauf. I'm from Palo Alto. And unfortunately, when I went to pick up Ellie Kirk on our way, she had fallen down, and they were in the process of her husband, or her son, took her to El Camino Hospital. So pray for her.
Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay, Mike.
Roger, take it away.
What did you say, Don?
I'm just grumbling.
Don is grumbling. I meant to say Don is grumbling. Okay. Before we go to our speakers are going to be talking about lighting. And as a little background, I wanted to ask Donna to read a resolution that got passed by, came from the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision and was passed by the California Council of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind. And it's relevant to our speakers today. So, Donna,
you need me to hold it for you, Donna?
No, I think I can do it. Okay. It's incandescent light bulb, American Council of the Blind, Resolution 2011-21. Summary. This organization urges that the conventional incandescent light bulb of the wattage continues to be available while manufacturers and researchers work on producing a light source that uses less electricity while returning the same lighting characteristics as incandescent bulbs. Two, this organization supports legislation such as S395. Three, this organization strongly encourages that S395 be amended to specifically address this need for development of lighting source that will meet both the needs of people who have low vision and address general environmental concerns. Whereas President George W. Bush signed into law the National Energy Independence and Security Act of
Actually, maybe the summary was good enough.
It says act of, and then it goes to whereas.
It should be of a year, of some year.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay.
The act was 2007.
Okay, 2007. Whereas President George W. Bush signed into law that National Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007, NEIS, for the purpose of reducing the dependence of the United States on foreign and unsustainable energy sources and the risk of climate change. And whereas Section 321 of this act restricts the sale of regular incandescent light bulbs in favor of compact fluorescent light starting in 2012. And whereas this section requires the initiation of a rulemaking procedure to determine whether even more restrictive standards on the manufacture of incandescent light bulbs should be adopted by 2014 to address environmental incandescent. And whereas this section of NEIS imposes by providing for additional restrictions on the sale of incandescent light bulbs, significant limitation on the independence and functioning of people with low vision and diminishes their ability to fully participate in social, and whereas persons with low vision require appropriate illumination in order to have optimal visual function, and whereas since the eyes of each person with low vision respond differently to various light sources such as fluorescent halogen light emitting diodes and incandescent lighting, it is essential that such persons continue to have available the broadest possible array of choices in lighting options, and whereas incandescent lighting works best for many people with low vision to read, cook, sew, and perform other daily tasks, while the wrong lighting frequently causes headaches, eye strain, and glare. Thus, reducing the ability to independently function optimally at home and in the workplace. And whereas the NEIS will likely lead to the discontinued sale of the conventional incandescent light bulbs, and whereas Senator Mike Enzi has introduced S395, which would repeal Section 321 of the NEIS, Abbott, for reasons other than concerns about accommodation for people who have low vision, and whereas it is essential to the well-being of people who have low vision that the restrictions on the sale of incandescent light bulbs be delayed until such times as a suitable alternative lighting source can be found that both meets the needs of this population and addresses environmental concerns. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the American Council of the Blind in convention assembled at the John Escuega Nugget Hotel Resort and Casino in Sparks, Nevada, on the 15th day of July 2011 that this organization urged that the conventional incandescent light bulb of all wattages continue to be available while manufacturers and researchers work on producing a light source that uses less electricity while retaining the same lighting characteristics as incandescent bulbs. And be it further resolved that this organization support legislation such as S395, and be it further resolved that this organization strongly encourage that S395 be amended to specifically address the needs for development of a light source that will meet both the needs of people who have low vision and address general environmental concerns. Adopted July 15, 2011. CCCLV, I have a few applications, and I also have flyers if anybody would be interested in finding out what our organization is all about. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, in case you're not aware, the California Council of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind have special interest affiliates as well as local chapters like ours. And the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision is one of those. It's a statewide affiliate of CCB that addresses the needs of low vision, of individuals who have usable low vision, you know, who are not totally blind, but who have low vision. Anyway, so that's background. I'm sorry it was so long. Resolutions tend to be that way. Our speakers today are from Berryessa Design, which is a local company, and they say that we need not worry about incandescent lights because they've got some groovy new lights that will satisfy our needs. And I want to hear about that, even though no light's going to satisfy my needs, of being totally blind and all that. But we have Terry Palmer, and we have John Nimick, and do we have Michael Ju?
Yes.
Did he get here? Okay, good. And they're going to talk with us, and I think they have some stuff to show us, and here they are.
Test. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Roger, thank you for that wonderful introduction, and I would just like to say on behalf of Berryessa Designs, we are so excited to have an opportunity to be here this morning and meet many of you and talk with you about lighting. The resolution that Donna just read, that was very well written, and we really understand the importance for the low vision community to be able to have lighting that does meet your needs. And so far, incandescent lighting, you know, has done a very good job. We don't know how the resolution will work out and whether or not incandescent lights will be able to remain on the market. But Berryessa Designs has been striving to develop lighting that addresses the needs exactly as you outlined in your resolution. We want to provide high-quality lighting that optimizes your visual experience, visual acuity, and trying to, while maintaining a lot of the qualities that you receive with the incandescent lighting, so that you can use this lighting for, you know, cooking, sewing, and your daily tasks, and but at the same time, address the needs of being more energy efficient, as Federal Energy Independence and Security Act is talking. So we're trying to meet the needs of both sides, providing a quality product that works, and at the same time, It is actually 30% more efficient than incandescent lighting. And one of our table lamps actually only costs about 25 cents per month to operate. So ultimately, it will be safer for the environment. It will reduce personal utility costs. And so what we'd like to do this morning is we're going to tell you a little bit about our products. We're going to talk about LED technology in general and some of the benefits of LED technology. Once we're finished, we'd love to have a time for questions so that we can have an open forum of questions and answers and address any of your questions. And then after that, we have set some of our product up in the library, and we would invite you to stop by and take a look and see for yourself whether or not how you like the lighting. We'd love your feedback, and we're very open to suggestions as we continue to develop the product. So Mike Ju is the founder of our company. And he's finishing setting up some of the products in the library. But our company, as Roger mentioned, is a local company. And we were founded about 2.5 years ago. Mike Ju himself was interested in creating a high-quality lamp that would optimize the visual experience. And once he developed the lamp, he started approaching eye institutes and eye doctors up and down the West Coast, and in very short time, they adopted these lights and started prescribing these lights for their low vision patients. So currently, our Berryessa design lamps are being used and prescribed by the UCLA Jules Stein Eye Institute, the Casey Eye Institute at Oregon Health and Science University. We are being used by 5 locations of the Braille Institute and many other eye institutes in the area. And we also work with the Vista Center. So they're actually a reseller for our product. I'll talk to you a little bit about some of the benefits of our light. We tried to design the light with, you know, an optimum visual experience, safety, and the environment in mind. So one of the benefits of LED technology is they're very long-lasting. So our lights will last for about 8 years or 40,000 hours if you're so you don't have to worry about changing light bulbs like you would in an incandescent lamp. And there's very little bulb breakage. You don't have to worry about bulbs breaking because it's and also the LED lights, we've developed a special visual spectra for the lights where we actually have the way that Mike Ju has designed the lights, it mitigates much of the blue light waves and virtually eliminates any UV waves. And what the eye institutes have found is this helps reduce eye strain and their glare, and there's no flicker in the lights as well. The lights are very rugged. We've designed the base so that it's a non-tip base. And we have like a very flexible gooseneck on the light, so it's easy to position just the way you want it for your reading or task experience. We have included short circuit protection so that you don't have to worry about electric shock or fire hazards within the light. And we've included also, we have an option for an inline dimmer. And this has been extremely helpful because as a person, you can adjust the intensity of the light to where it fits the visual spectrum that works best for you. John, is there any other things you'd like to talk about the lights?
I think I would. I'd like to start with the...
Welcome to the mic.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I was pulling it over. I think I'd start with the environment. I think the lamp contains very little toxic materials, just minute amounts. There is no mercury in these lamps. As Terry said, there's no bulb breakage because the LEDs are about the size of your little fingernail. The lamp is completely recyclable, or not about 99% recyclable. It's a very safe lamp. If you touch the lamp when it's on, and it has been on for a while, it's warm to the touch, but it doesn't burn anything. If you touched 100 watt or 150 watt incandescent lamp, it would burn your fingers. These lamps operate at a very low temperature. As Terry mentioned, they are very efficient. Typical lamp uses, for producing the same amount of light, is using only 8 watts of electricity versus 150 watts or 100 watts for an incandescent lamp. I think that's enough about, we did safety. Did I cover it pretty well? Okay, sure, yeah.
The other thing that we wanted to mention is we have several different models to be able to choose from. So we have desk lamps that can be used on a desk or side table. And we also have floor lamps. And the floor lamps also have the flexible gooseneck so that, again, you can adjust it to exactly how you need the light source for your either reading or task work. And then we're in the process of developing a LED light with a magnifier, which Mike brought this morning, and we would like to show that to you and get your feedback. And then upcoming in the development, we're also developing some torchier lights that will help illuminate the entire room with very high quality lighting. The Steve Manhan, who is the CEO of Santa Clara Valley Blind Center, is very excited about the upcoming torchier lamp and what that will provide as far as a lighting source within homes. And so that's kind of a general description of the product. And so we certainly, again, understand the importance of trying to provide the highest quality light but still comply with, you know, energy regulations and the overall green movement that is upon us. Why don't we go ahead and have some questions? And I see one right there.
No, I can
Pam over there.
Pam, okay. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Pamela Rao. I have two questions. One, you keep speaking about lamps, and what about light bulbs for our current lamps? And how much we're not millionaires, so how much money do we have to plan on spending on these things? Thank you.
Well, to answer the first question is, I'm sorry, would you repeat that again, please, the first
light
one?
Bulbs.
Light bulbs. The LED lamps do not require light bulbs.
Is it not possible to develop bulbs for our current lamps? Because, we've got ceiling, we have just a myriad of types of lights.
Well, that's a different story, okay? 110 voltage is not in the lamp itself. There is a power supply that is plugged into the wall, and the lamp doesn't have any voltages higher than about 20 volts. So it's a very safe lamp. Now, if you want a lamp that has a equivalent configuration with a light bulb kind of thing, but using LEDs, that's very inefficient.
So you mean we have to replace all of our lamps and such?
Eventually, as time, as progress goes with LED lamps, the lamps with the screw-in bulbs are going to go away. You can't. I think they're working on bulbs that are doing that, but these bulbs are fluorescent bulbs, which you don't want.
Right.
The fluorescent bulbs contain mercury. They have a glass structure. They are breakable. There's 110 volts in that lamp. It's not the way that the industry is going. They're going to low voltages, LEDs, very little heat dissipation, and better lighting.
What about cost?
The costs are going to fall as volume increases.
Right.
And I suggest you maybe talk to us a little bit later about the costs.
Well, I mean, you can't give us any kind of range at this point in time?
I'll have Mike address that.
Okay. Is he in here?
He's here. Right here.
Yeah. I'm here. Okay, now, we're looking at the, so in terms of cost of the general illumination lights or for LED, using LED, or to be specific about the price of our product?
Yes, your product.
Because okay.
The way I'm hearing you uh-huh. is that you're the only company that has this at this time.
Hmm. Yeah.
Am I correct?
Well, there are other companies that make LED lighting products. I'm not the only one, or we're not the only one.
Are they like you? I'm understanding that you specifically are trying to reach the low vision world.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so are they, or is it just they're just doing it? And if they...
Most LED lighting products that I see out there for reading, we are focusing specifically in the reading area.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only one actually have the specific color and also the efficiency plus the heat management and the longevity that people actually need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is something that when you go to Fry's Electronics out there and also Target, et cetera, they either provide the brightness, but what happened is that the thermal management will lead you very, very quickly to, the decay of the light.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened is that sometimes brightness is not there. So, a lot of the time, the way they build the internal structure can be dangerous to people who are actually using these lights. For example, when I'm building a magnifier light, the reason why I'm building a magnifier light is because that I found that, for example, the likes of a company like Carson. Carson actually built a light with a magnifier, but if you open up and look at the construction itself, what happened is that they do a direct rectification of a 110 volt into the body, so therefore you actually see about 220 volts. But if you're bringing that very close to, for example, a water source and stuff, you can get electrocuted.
Mm.
So those are the dangers that we do avoid. For example, because we use a class 2 transformation, where what happened is that we only drive this thing up to 20 volts. So this actually, even when you touch the circuit, it doesn't shock you. So those are the advantages. And what happened is that we also understand the makeup of the eye. What happened is that we actually provide three different types of color. And as it turned out, people afflicted with different eye disease actually have preferences in color. So this is the reason why some people actually like the cooler white, some people actually like the warm white, and some people like neutral white. So this is the reason why we brought three variations of the light to try out to see basically it's the best suit to individual. Okay, in terms of longevity of the light, we designed these lights so the surface temperature will never exceed 50 degrees C. So what that means is that the LED is very different from incandescent and also fluorescent. Incandescent and fluorescent, they actually don't mind having heat in the light itself. But with LED, what happened is that the heat actually severely affects the longevity of the light. So that means that, for example, if your LED is beyond, like, for example, 80 to 90 degrees C in terms of ambient temperature, the life decelerates. The life contracts very quickly. So we design these things so these light actually lasts about 40,000 hours. Okay, if you use a continuous, well, actually 8 hours usage a day, you're looking at about 14 years of usage. Okay, and if you're looking at the wattage itself, it consumes 8 watts at 0.12 or 12 cents per kilowatt hour. You're looking at about 25 cents to 26 cents a month to operate this thing. And the head of the light is warm to the touch, so in the winter you can actually use it as a hand warmer if you want. So it doesn't burn. So, and also because it has short circuit protection, what happened is that once it hits water, it cuts off. And as soon as the water dries, it recovers. So those are the type of things that's actually very, very good for light. That, for example, people with low vision tend to need to hug the light, okay, because they need to because the depth of vision is very short. So what happened is that when you're hugging a light, when you have 100 watt, the reason why you need a 100 watt light bulb is because the light source is actually fairly hot, and you want to have some distance away. So we know from physics what happened is that intensity of the light is 1 over distance square. So what happened is that the farther the light that it has to be away, what happened is that you need a more powerful light. So this is the reason why you need a 100-watt light bulb, for example. Okay, now in terms of lighting efficiency, light itself, what happened is that a rule of thumb calculation is if you take a 100-watt incandescent, you divide that by 8, that's the amount of power that you need for the LED light to operate. Okay, if you look at a fluorescent light, the factor is divided by 4. So those are the type of, when you're doing shopping, that you can actually easily use. So those are the type of thing. In terms of price, our light actually sell at Berkeley Lighting for $210 for these lights. And we're selling today, well, these are slightly blemished lights for $65. So that's why. So yeah, it's just something that we're trying to provide a service. And we do, that's what we're trying to do.
I hear you saying then we will have to replace all of our lamps. And I happen to use lights on my ceiling fan.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, most particularly on the stove hood.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that is going to have to be replaced eventually.
Right. And okay, to answer your question, those at this time, you have... there are two separate categories that you could actually separate lighting into. One is called general illumination, basically a light to fill the area. And the other one is actually for reading or task lighting, for something to do specific task. Okay. Now, in terms of, there are a lot of LED bulbs replacement out there already. The issue with the LED bulb replacement at this time is that For the same fixture, there's a limit about how much light you could put in there before the LED actually get hot and actually makes the light shorten the light significantly. So this is the reason why LED replacement bulb, they are very expensive, and actually they don't really last as long as they boast. What happened is that, for example, how many incandescent or actually fluorescent bulbs that you use that says that last 7,000 hours actually last 7,000 hours? Hardly any. So this is, and what happened is that when you, so those are the types of things that you face, okay? Is the reason why they don't last 7,000 hours is because the components that they use actually don't last. So what is the key element for LED light? What's the longevity of it? It's actually two units. One of them is a thermal management of the LED, and second thing is the mechanism driver itself, and you have to choose the appropriate capacitor so this way it lasts the life of the part. So those are the type of things that we actually stress. Okay, now, in terms of replacing fluorescent light, there are 110 replacement for the LED bulb itself. But what happened is that so far, the ones that I've seen out there, they are actually, the color of the light is actually not very, very good. The reason why is that they tend to choose a cooler white because that puts out more light per watt. It's called efficacy. But the problem with that is that when you have a high efficacy, you tend to have a bluish light. So therefore, it's great for filling the area with room, but it doesn't. You cannot see the image as well as a higher color rendering index light or a warmer white light. So what happened is that if I were to produce the LED, which I'm actually looking at, LED fluorescent replacement bulbs, I would actually choose a warmer white. And that's how I would do it. And what we will do is we will provide the same type of quality that we do with the task light that we're building right now.
Okay, we have another question here.
Thank you.
Hi, I happen to be a clarinet player. Thank you guys for coming to all my concerts. And I just found out about LED lights about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty low vision. I didn't notice that the other people in the band were starting to have these little bitty lights. I didn't see them
because
they were small.
Yeah.
So I finally got one, and I love it. It's replaced. It was about $89. It's about 3 ounces. It unfolds. It hooks on the music stand or the music folder because it's so light.
Right.
And for the first time in my life, I can see both pages of the paper, and I make really big music without tripping the saxophone players because I've been hauling around a tubular light in metal, 30 feet of cord, and worrying about people breaking their hips.
Yeah, actually,
this is great.
Right. UCLA actually asked me to design a portable light for people to read menus at the restaurant and also to see the meal itself for people with low vision. And we do see other LED lights, and I believe that we can actually build something far superior than they do. Most of the LED out there actually use a low-power LED. We use a high-power LED, which is about 60 times brighter than the low-power LED. And what happened is that we will design these portables, so it will use lithium-ion battery. Therefore, what happened is that first it's rechargeable, and actually you will have a lot more current, so it lasts longer. So it's like that ever-ready bunny that just keep on drumming. That's what we are trying to do. So, yeah.
We have another question.
Yeah.
This is Sam.
Hi, Sam.
I have a basic question.
Uh-huh.
I think my understanding is the LED light, it's not very powerful.
Uh-huh.
What I have seen is the old day when we have first have the laptop and the monitor that is LED, or see some microwave that's an LED, the light doesn't go any far at all. So I'm wondering that if today's LED is powerful enough to do the general lighting, as in what we see, the fluorescent light on the ceiling, is that powerful enough today now?
Very good question. Okay, with the LED in the old days, it is a 3-5 compound. It's called gallium arsenide type of lighting. What happened is that it's a little bit weak. But then I believe in about 10 years ago, what happened is Nakamura, who is the inventor of, I believe, indium gallium nitride LED, what happened is that it puts out significant amount, much more light than it is right now. So what happened is that just a rule of thumb right there is that the old LED, which is about maybe very, very little light, so this for the same amount of light, it is actually, like I said, about 60 times brighter. So that's I actually built a torchier light, which is a 50 watt torchier light. It's actually equivalent of a 300 watt halogen light already. And the reason why I like it is because first is safety, and actually we designed this for hotel use. What happened is that hotel managers don't like to go in and replace the bulb with a halogen because halogen lasts about supposedly 7,000 hours, actually probably 1,000 or 2,000 hours in real life. So what happened is that we actually tried to build something that will last 3 to 5 years, because hotel usage is typically they remodel every 3 to 5 years, 3 on a good economy, 5 on a bad economy. So therefore, we can actually put one light in, and then it will last a long time. And yes, that is to address the general illumination market there for example, ceiling lights. But we will address it first through the torchiere, which is an incandescent light type of quality, and then we will also work with the fluorescent light. Because we are very small, we cannot compete with the likes of Philips, which I came from that company. And what happened is that we choose to do our battle, so this is the reason why we choose reading light as a start.
Okay, Mike.
Hello. I'd like to get back to that question about the cost of these, mm-hmm. and the fact that low vision people are, many of them are, they really don't have any money.
I understand. Yes.
And the notion that they have to replace every single light they've got with your devices, I think is very daunting. And mm. and I have a feeling that I'm not sure. I'm aware that you're just a provider, and you're making a great service. But I wonder if you have thought about the fact that the community you're trying to serve is really doesn't have any money.
Yeah. See, okay, now, the statement about replacing every light right now with the LED light, that's, I would say that's in the long run, and it's really not just our company that will be doing this. But what happened is that we actually would like to address the places where lighting really counts. So the first is actually, for example, if you do need the light, most of the time you really, ambient light or the general illumination is to fill the area. You can still use fluorescent right now, and in the long term, when they do the replacement, it's probably will be a ways away. But the lights that will be very close to you, for example, the one that you use actually for task lighting, that's where you replace first. And this is where LED is actually very good. It is actually just what happened is that it's a matter of upfront payment versus financing the cost of operation. What happened is that with the LED light, what happened is that you have a higher upfront cost, but what happened is that your operating cost goes down over the years that it's actually working.
Yeah, but suppose you put yourself in a low vision person's mm-hmm. shoes.
Yes.
You're getting used to being low vision, mm-hmm. and you don't have any money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How on earth are you going to afford replacing everything you've got?
You can't. You cannot. What happened is that you can actually still, like I said, the incandescent bulb that's going away, that's one issue. But what happened is that you will still have fluorescent options for general illumination. And fluorescent is still, at this time, the best or the lowest cost general illumination product out there. And that is still around. So what happened is that it will not go away. So
we have one more question, and we're running out of time.
Okay.
If you currently use a full spectrum incandescent bulb, mm-hmm. which of your products mirrors that or is as close to that as can be?
Okay, actually, full spectrum incandescent bulb is not recommended. What happened is that full spectrum, meaning that you actually have spectrum all the way up to UV. And so what happened is that Your eye receptor actually, it's a with UV, with a slight hint of UV is okay, but overexposure of UV causes cataract and also aging of the eye. So what happened is that even company actually market full spectrum light as a healthy lighting. It's actually for the eye itself, it's actually not so healthy. So now what happened is that this is the reason why we would like to display three different options of the light. So this way, you can choose whichever one that you're comfortable with, the one that will give you the best resolution in terms of object. So that's what we do.
I believe there was a misconception there. A full spectrum light is not an incandescent lamp. An incandescent lamp is not a full spectrum light. It's the fluorescent lights that are full spectrum. And those are the lights that Mike has been talking about. You don't have to replace every light in your house with an LED lamp. What Mike is saying is that you would have one lamp that you would use, or maybe two, that you would use for your tasks, your reading.
Replace the critical ones first.
Exactly, replacing the critical lamps that where you need for reading or other activities. The rest of the lamps in your house for general lighting, you can use the fluorescents.
So. No, we're trying to end. In this. And what I wanted to say is it's getting close to 11, but as I understand it, these guys have some stuff in the library, and I would suggest to Mike that maybe we take a little bit extended break, and then also during the business meeting, they'll still be there, and maybe a few people at a time might be able to go and see them. And John and Michael are staying for lunch. So, you know, they're not disappearing right away. But we do want to go on with our meeting at some point here. I wanted to say to you guys, by the way, that when we were talking on an email list I was on about lights, someone said, well, I like halogen lights because when bugs land on them, they die.
Oh. Well, actually, these are bug-friendly because they don't die.
But anyway, so I'm going to give it back to Michael and ask you to give a round of applause for these guys.
Yes, we
applause,
have
applause, applause, and then Mike can decide how long a break he wants to have, but know that they'll be in the library even after the break. Thank you.
Yeah, I also would like to say, any of you people want to come by and visit our group and tell us what's going on with your lights in the future. We have our meetings every third Saturdays. Except for August and December, and they are here in the dining room in the Monta Vista Terrace, 10 to 1. Actually, if you come about 9:30, they'll have a chance to talk. At any rate, we are going to take a 30-minute break. So those of you who'd like to see the products can do it. Come back at 11:30. Let me urge you to do that. We need a quorum today. We didn't have a quorum in July, and we couldn't do business, but we have serious business to do today. So please come back. Thank you.